Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Dota Hobbs podcast. I'm your host, Bobo. Well, first things first, sorry for the delay in getting this episode out. Some big life events happened, so I've not been able to record or update the website lately. I'll get to that as soon as I can, but it still might be another week or so. For today's episode, we are once again diving into another unique mechanic found in Dota. For this episode, we are going over attack modifiers. And I think in previous episodes, I've alluded to this before a little bit, so this might sound familiar, or you might already know a lot about this mechanic. Today, we are going to go over what exactly attack modifiers are, and basically common attack modifiers found in the game, and other modifiers that are more unique to heroes and items. I will do my best to keep this concise and simple. There are a lot of mechanics at work here, so some of this may be convoluted. But the main purpose of this, as with all episodes, is to provide more information on the game of Dota. I would not be surprised, honestly, if I bore some listeners to sleep while talking about this topic, because some of this can be nitty-gritty, maybe redundant, or just straight up even boring. However, I think it's interesting. It's a, you know, the mechanics in Dota, it's so deep, it's so complex, there are so many inner workings going on that it makes the game pretty intricate. It's really fascinating. But if anything, you know, I hope you at least learn something and get enjoyment out of this. One mechanical note that I'm going to say before we dive into this is there are items and modifiers that stack, but they vary and there is a lot of math involved. For simplicity's sake, we are not going to include that in today's episode. I'll touch on it later on as we keep going, you know, throughout later episodes, things like that. But just know that some items and modifiers stack, but those in a way have their own set of rules. And so, yeah, just keep things simple. We will not touch on those. So with that, let's dive in. So let's start off with attack modifiers and defining what they are. An attack modifier is a modifier that will apply an effect to a unit's basic attack. These effects can vary and be anything from lowering armor, to slowing, to healing, or even disabling. Most of these modifiers have their own set of rules. For example, some are melee only, others are ranged only. Some fully stack, while others don't stack at all. At times, modifiers can be active, meaning that they have to be used manually, though most modifiers feature an auto-cast option where your hero automatically casts it when the ability is off cooldown to make life a little bit easier. And now let's go over some common attack modifiers found in the game. A common attack modifier is an attack modifier that they're not unique abilities, but you commonly see them on heroes and items. These can vary depending on their values and how they are activated. Some are applied on every attack, others when the hit lands, or they can even have a proc chance, which means they have a chance to activate on every attack successfully hit. So let's go over some examples of some common attack modifiers found. A lot of these will sound familiar to you already. Some are very commonly found on certain heroes for passive abilities. Others are activatable, and like we said, some disabled. They're all unique in their own way. So first one, let's go with Critical Strike. So Critical Strike, as you know, it's not even found in Dota, it's found across all sorts of games. So basically, what a Critical Strike does is that it causes the attack to deal multiplied damage. Most critical strikes are based off chance. They do not stack with themselves, meaning, so for example, if you have multiple Daedaluses in your inventory, that does not increase the critical strike on proc. Rather, they just increase your chance to land the critical strike itself. So it's not mean like the critical strikes are, you know, multiplying or stacking on top of themselves. You just have a better chance to land a critical strike, if that makes sense. If you have multiple sources of critical strike and they all do happen to activate on the same attack, the one with the highest damage multiplier is applied. You know, and again, this already might be a little confusing, but to me, this is the fun of diving into the back-end workings of Dota 2. So some examples of heroes that have critical strike attacks: Juggernaut with his Blade Dance, Wraith King with his Mortal Strike, and Phantom Assassin with their Coup de Grace. You know, and that's the one, I mean, we've all had games where you're a support and a PA throws a dagger and it critical hits you and you're pretty much dead. You either die on one hit or your health is so low they're like, okay, well, I'm pretty much dead. It's a lot of fun. I've been there plenty of times. Some items that have critical strike: Daedalus, Bloodthorn, and Crystallis. Okay, now next modifier that is found: Cleave and Splash. So the reason why I'm putting these two together is because they are very similar in that they have, in that they affect an area around the landed attack. What changes is the shape of the area depending on which modifier is at work. So Cleave causes the aggressor's attack to deal damage in a trapezoid area in front of them. Splash damage causes damage in a circular area around the attacked unit. The other main difference is Cleave can only be used by melee units, while Splash is used by range units. So some examples of heroes with Cleave attacks: Magnus, Kunkka, and Sven. Some of these, it's like Sven's is just a passive. Kunkka is an activatable one, as we noted earlier, how it has an active on it, meaning that it can be used manually, or you can just set it to auto-cast just to make your life easier. You'll see people use both. Most people just manually cast it throughout the game just to help farm. And then during team fights, they'll usually just put it on auto-cast. It should be noted that Tiny's tree grab ability, almost acts exactly like Cleave. The biggest difference here is the shape of the area the damage applies to. So when Tiny hits, it almost acts like a rectangle with a semicircle on the very end. If you can picture what a Norman window is, it looks just like that. And then some items that provide Cleave: Battle Fury. That's the only one that I can find that I know of in the game that provides Cleave, hence why there's only one item of it. And it's such a core item on certain heroes just to help melee heroes farm faster and more efficient. And then some examples of heroes with splash attacks. Again, I can only find two. First one is Dragon Knight, but only when he's in his dragon form. And then Tiny with his tree throw ability, because when he's using his tree, you have Cleave, and when he throws it, it acts as splash, so it does damage around where the tree lands. As far as I have researched, there are no items that provide splash attacks. So if anybody knows of any, please let me know on the Dota Ops website or on Reddit if you could. Moving on, let's go to Bash. So this modifier, it's very straightforward. Bash causes the unit's attack to stun the target and sometimes deal additional damage depending on the ability itself. Some heroes that have Bash abilities: Spiritbreaker with his Greater Bash, Faceless Void with his Time Lock, and Slardar with his Bash of the Deep. Items that provide Bash: Basher and Abyssal Blade. A note for Bash: in these sources, there are chance-based bashes, and there are reliable bashes. So a chance-based, again, is self-explanatory, kind of like Critical Strike, where there's a chance for the bash to happen on every successful attack. Reliable bash means it will always be triggered on a successful attack. Usually they have a cooldown or a buildup of successful hits to execute. So again, if we use Slardar as the example, his Bash of the Deep, you can see the modifier on the fourth hit is when it will always be a guaranteed bash. So that's an example of a reliable bash. And then a chance-based attack, bash, is Faceless Void's Time Lock. Okay, let's move on to Lifesteal. Lifesteal causes the unit's attack to heal them based on how much damage is dealt to the target. So the more damage you do, the more you heal. Heroes with Lifesteal abilities: Lifestealer, probably the easiest example to think of, with his passive Feast, Chaos Knight with his Chaos Strike, and Broodmother with her Insatiable Hunger. Items with sources of Lifesteal: Satanic, Mask of Madness, Vladimir's Offering. And then the last common one to find in the game is Mana Break. So Mana Break is similar to lifesteal, except with every landed attack, a portion of the receiver's mana is burned instead, based on how much damage is done to the attack. Does that make sense? I'll repeat it. So a portion of the mana is burned instead of damage, based on how much damage was done from the attack. So heroes with mana break abilities, Animage with his mana break, and then these next two examples are solely from heroes' talent trees. First one is Mirana, and the next one is Weaver. And theirs is literally, it doesn't give an ability. It just says, 9 mana break or 15 mana break. I can't remember their exact numbers, but they just get the ability. So now every right click they have does a small amount of mana break. Then items with mana break, there's only one, and that is Diffusal Blade. So those are all the common attack modifiers found in the game. I hope at least some of that made sense. And the biggest thing that people might be wondering is, you might ask, why does any of this matter? And honestly, that's a great question. And to me, the reason why I chose to go over this and to put some emphasis on this is because it always comes back to being about the more you know, the better advantage you have. Knowing aspects of the game helps you know why certain builds exist on heroes and how to synergize items. For example, knowing that Faceless Void's bash passive is chance-based explains why it's common to build attack speed items like Butterfly, Mask of Madness, or even Mjolnir, because then that gives you more chances to land bashes. And then that's why you could build more damage items or armor-reducing items on heroes with lifesteal, because then they can trade better with heroes with opposing heroes, because they're doing more damage, so therefore they're getting more lifesteal, and then the trade is favoring them as the engagement goes on. So that is the first part of attack modifiers. We will cover the next portion actually in next week's episode, just to help keep things short and concise and not to get too convoluted in all this nitty-gritty, all these nitty-gritty aspects. Thank you so much for listening. Your support has helped a ton and kept me motivated to continue making content. I really hope this was informative for you and you're able to at least learn something from this, whether it was big or small, as long as, you're able to take away something. That's what I hope most of all. If you ever have any questions or things you want me to dive into, please let me know on the Dota Obs website or on these Reddit posts when I post them on there as well. Any feedback, anything is encouraged and greatly appreciated. Thank you so much. Good luck. Have fun in your games.